Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I did have a doctor's appointment this week. Actually met with several medical personnel, and they're very pleased with the progress I'm making and the healing that's taking place. They were not pleased that I was taking my arm out of the sling. So I'm trying to be a good boy. I will keep it in this morning. Hopefully in another week or two we'll be out. But appreciate your prayers. We're making good progress. It does seem as though whenever the subject of spiritual gifts come up, the conversation turns to the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Seems that has become a very important gift these days, and I believe has been exaggerated in its importance. It is true that the gift of tongues obviously was exhibited in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. We certainly see the gift of tongues a couple of times throughout the book of Acts. But as we read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, I believe Paul is addressing a problem in the church at Corinth that we see in churches today. And that is an exaggeration of the importance of the gift of tongues and the abuse of that gift. That's what was taking place in Corinth. An exaggeration in the importance of the gift of tongues and an abuse of the exercise of that gift. And I believe we see that in churches today. Paul addresses that primarily in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. These two issues. An exaggeration of the importance of the gift and an abuse of that gift. However, before we specifically get into chapter 14, I believe we need to lay some groundwork and some foundation, specifically as it relates to this gift of tongue, because that's what he's dealing with primarily in chapter 14. And in chapter 13, verse 8, we read, "Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away." We looked at those verses a few weeks ago, but it does specifically say tongues shall cease. So this morning, that's what we want to look at. Tongues shall cease. This foundation needs to be laid as we come then to chapter 14 as Paul addresses the issues there in Corinth, and I believe issues that are prevalent today as well. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning again for your word, and it is our rule of faith and practice. Help us to know what it says as we study it. Enlighten our hearts through your Holy Spirit to understand its truth and to apply it to our lives. Thank you, Father, for preserving your word for us. Thank you for that revelation that you've given to us. I pray that we'd be faithful in our study of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has been a few weeks since we've been looking at these passages here in 1 Corinthians because of the accident and then because of the holidays, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. So I do want to quickly review some things that we said and as it relates to verses 8 through 12 of chapter 13. If you remember, we said that those verses 8 through 12 of chapter 13 is dealing with the subject that love is permanent and the spiritual gifts are temporary. That's what he's emphasizing. Love is permanent, the spiritual gifts are temporary. Notice it again. Verse 8, love never fails. Prophecy and knowledge, they're going to be done away. Tongues is going to cease, but love never fails. And the word fail there, if you remember, is a word that refers to a leaf that falls off the tree and then decays and disappears. And he says love is never going to fall and decay. Love never fails. Love is eternal. Love will always exist. Love will never cease. On the other hand, prophecy and knowledge, they will be done away. And the word that's used there is literally prophecy and knowledge will become inoperative. Prophecy and knowledge will become useless. And it's going to become useless and inoperative because something outside of itself is going to act upon it and cause it to be inoperative and useless. That's the word that's used. Tongues, on the other hand, is going to cease, it says. And the word that's used there, it's the idea that it's going to cease on its own. It's just going to stop on its own. It's not going to necessarily be an outside force causing it to stop. It's just going to stop and cease on its own, the gift of tongues. It's as if the gift of tongues was given a stopping mechanism that was going to just cause it to come to an end at some point. And we use the example, a battery. A battery has so much energy in it, and when it gets used up, it doesn't work anymore. And that's the idea of the word that's used here, tongues, is going to cease. Just on its own, it's going to be used up and not be exercised anymore. Paul uses in verse 11 the example of his own maturity. He's a child, he did some childish things, but when he became a man, when he matured, he put away those childish things. And we said that he's probably referring to his bar mitzvah. That's what the word that the Jewish people use today. At the age of 12 or 13, a young boy, he leaves childhood, and not that he becomes a complete adult in every sense, but he begins to take on some adult responsibilities. And there's a maturity that is recognized at the bar mitzvah. And that's what Paul is talking about here. At that time, he puts away the childish things and he becomes mature. Now, that maturity is not perfection. And it doesn't mean that he's as mature as he's ever going to be. But there is a transition from childhood to a level of maturity. And he uses that as an example. And he says the same is true with the church. The church is going to come to a point of maturity. Not perfection, necessarily, but a point where there's a transition from childish things to some adult responsibilities. And I believe that's what he's talking about when he says that when that which is perfect is come, when maturity comes. And we said at that time there 3 or 4 weeks ago that the time of maturity for the church, again, not perfection, not as mature as the church will ever be, but a maturity from childhood to at least some adult responsibility at the end of the apostolic age when the Bible was complete. That's when there was a transition from the childish spiritual gifts to maturity. And so the childish spiritual gifts of knowledge and prophecy and tongues, they came to an end. They were done away with. They ceased because the church entered into an adult responsibility. The foundation of the apostles was laid, and now there was a church established, and it was entering into adult responsibilities. And so now we come to that question. Tongues shall cease. Why and when? When is this tongues going to cease? When is it going to come to an end? And why? Why would it come to an end? I begin by saying this. The gift of tongues was a sign gift which is no longer needed. The purpose of the gift of tongues, it was a sign. And if the sign's no longer needed, then obviously tongues is no longer needed. And that's what we want to look at. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll be back to it. But would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Gift of tongues was a sign gift, which is no longer needed. It was a sign gift authenticating the message and the messenger. A sign gift authenticating the message and the messenger. Back at the time of the apostles, there was a great transition taking place. This transition was from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. The Old Testament to the New Testament. The law of Moses to the law of Christ, if you will. From Israel to the church. And so during this great transition, there was some confusion. And there was some lack of understanding. And how do you know what is truth and what isn't? How do you know if this person speaking is really a messenger from God, and how and whether his message is truth from God? How are you going to know that? There was this transition taking place. Some things were changing rapidly, and there was some new revelation coming out. And so how do you know what was truth? How do you know what messenger to listen to? How do you know what message to listen to? And so what we have are these sign gifts. God giving these sign gifts to individuals to verify that they were truly messengers from God and that their message was truth. Sign gifts such as the gift of tongues, the sign gifts of miracles, the sign gifts of healings. These were sign gifts given to individuals during this time of transition when there was confusion. How do you know who is a messenger from God and who is truly speaking truth? And that's what we see here in Hebrews chapter 2. Notice verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Let's break that down a little bit. Notice the three groups of people. Actually, the first one is of one person. He says, spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. You see the three? You've got the Lord, you've got those who heard the Lord, and you've got those who heard those who heard the Lord. And the writer of Hebrews includes himself in that last category. So you've got the Lord, you've got those who heard the Lord, and then you've got the us who heard those who heard the Lord. There's those three categories. And then in verse 4, who is it that God bore witness with? With signs and wonders. He says in verse 4, God also bearing them witness. The writer of Hebrews does not include himself in the ones who had this co-witness of God with signs and wonders. You have the Lord and you have those who heard the Lord. And it was those who heard the Lord that had this co-witness of God with signs and wonders. The writer of Hebrews does not include himself in the category of those who had the signs and wonders and these gifts. In other words, the writer of Hebrews, and Hebrews is one of the later New Testament books written, the writer of Hebrews is basically saying he didn't have that co-witness of God with signs and wonders. That was for those who had heard the Lord. That was for that apostolic time. And the writer of Hebrews does not include himself in that. It was a later book, and it suggests to us that even by the time that Hebrews was being written, these sign gifts were already fading away. They were already coming to an end. God bore them witness. Those apostles, those who had heard the Lord, they're the ones that had the sign gifts. And it was already beginning to fade away as the writer of Hebrews wrote. You don't need to turn to it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul was defending his apostolic authority to the Corinthians. And he says there in 2 Corinthians 12:12, that you should know that I am an apostle because I did the signs of an apostle. And then he goes on and says they were signs, wonders, and miracles. The signs, wonders, and miracles were signs of the apostle. And Paul did those signs. Therefore, they should have known that he was an apostle and had apostolic authority. But it was the signs of the apostles. The indication is that these sign gifts were not for everybody in general. And at the end of the apostolic age, they would cease, because they were the signs of the apostles. Now, sometimes we get the idea that The Bible is just full of miracles taking place all the time. But when you really study the scriptures, you know what you find? As far as God actually using human instrumentality to perform miracles, it's very, very limited. Think about the miracles of the Bible, and I'm talking about miracles through human instrumentality. Every miracle that you can think of, most every miracle that you can think of that was used through human instrumentality fall in the time period of Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, and Christ and the disciples. Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses made water come out of the rock. Actually, God did that, but God used human instrumentality, used Moses. He used Joshua to stop the sun for a day. Actually stopped the rotation of the earth for a day. He used Elijah and Elisha to perform some miracles. Certainly Christ and the apostles performed some miracles. But you have a really difficult time coming up with any other miracle outside of those three time periods in which God used human instrumentality. Certainly God performed miracles. We have Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel didn't do anything to stop the mouths of the lions, but God certainly stopped those mouths. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they didn't do anything. God simply kept them safe in the fire. So God certainly performed miracles, but when it came to human instrumentality, those three time periods. And those three time periods each are about 70 years long. So when it comes to miracles in which God used human instrumentality, we've got, since the creation of time, 210 years. Miracles through human instrumentality are not common throughout the whole history of man. The apostles were used by God. They were his instrument to perform signs and wonders and miracles, but it was for a sign to verify that they were messengers from God. So in that transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, there was much confusion, and sign gifts were necessary. And we see in Hebrews chapter 2, where God bore them witness with signs and wonders, and in 2 Corinthians 12:12, Paul calls it the signs of the apostles. Signs and wonders and miracles. It verified that they were of God. We also see that tongues was a sign gift to unbelieving Israel. Tongues was a sign gift to unbelieving Israel. Go back to 1 Corinthians. And I want you to look at chapter 14. Verses 21 and 22. We'll get to these verses in a few weeks, but I just want to touch on them here. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 21 and 22. Paul quotes from the Old Testament, and he says, "In the law it is written, 'With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them who believe.'" Tongues, he specifically says, is a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And he quotes from Isaiah chapter 28. And if you go to the context of Isaiah 28, Isaiah is prophesying to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, and he says, "As a sign of judgment, I am going to send to you people who are going to speak with another tongue. I have spoken to you in clear language, and you have not believed me." So as a sign of judgment, a judicial sign, I will send you people of another tongue. And that'll be a sign to you of my judgment upon you. It'll be a sign to you that I am going to change my focus from Israel to people of another tongue, the Gentiles. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. As we come into the New Testament, the New Covenant, God is changing his focus from Israel in the Old Testament to the church in the New Testament. And a sign to the unbelieving Jews, because of their unbelief, God said, I'm going to give you a sign of judgment, and that sign is that they will speak in other tongues. And it will be a sign that I am changing my focus to a people of other tongues. And that's the church. The church is primarily made up of Gentiles. Certainly there are Jews within the church today, but primarily it is made up of Gentiles as God changed his focus from Israel to the church. And the speaking in tongues was a sign to unbelieving Israel that this judgment was coming. And that judgment was fulfilled, I believe, in 70 AD when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. And when that temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, Judaism, as it was practiced in the Old Testament, came to an end. There was no temple. Therefore, there was no place to offer the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And to this day, for 2,000 years, the Jews have not had a place to offer their sacrifices because the temple has been destroyed. The judgment had been carried out. Judaism, as far as how it was practiced in the Old Testament, came to an end. The church was established. And so this sign of judgment is no longer needed today. The judgment's already been done. The church is already established. And so in Acts, it was a sign to the unbelieving Jews that God was changing his focus and he's going to bring judgment upon them because of their unbelief. He brought the judgment. The church is established. He's focused now on the church. The sign of judgment, speaking in tongues, is no longer needed. The judgment's already been carried out. The gift of tongues was an inferior way of edification. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because that's primarily what 1 Corinthians 14 is all about. The church in Corinth had exalted the gift of tongues above all else. And as they exalted the gift of tongues above all else, they were abusing that gift. And so 1 Corinthians 14, Paul tries to put that in perspective. And in so doing, he's saying the gift of tongues was actually inferior when it came to edification. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, we've looked at that in the past, we recognize that spiritual gifts were given for the edification of the church. And that's what the purpose of the gifts were for. It was to edify the church. Now, as a sign gift, the gift of tongues edified the church. The church was able to know who was a messenger from God and was this message true. The church could know that and was edified by that because the messenger was able to perform these sign gifts. That verified that they were from God and their message was true. And so that edified the church. But once that need of the messenger and message being verified no longer existed, then the gift of tongues was not needed any longer. Because it had limited use. It was a sign, but it did not really edify the church outside of being a sign. Prophecy edified the church because you could understand what the prophecy was. Tongues, you couldn't understand it unless there was an interpretation. And so tongues was spoken. They didn't understand what was being said. It didn't edify anybody. So it was edification as a sign, but once the sign was no longer needed, then the gift of tongues had limited use. It couldn't edify. Therefore, it ceased. It was done away. The sign gifts were no longer needed when the Word of God was complete. How do you know today that my message is truth and that I am a messenger from God? How are you going to know that? By the Word of God. The Word of God's complete. You've got all you need right here. And if I'm saying something contrary to the Word of God, you know that that message was not truth. But before the Word of God was complete, how are they supposed to know that? They didn't have the Word of God. They had the Old Testament, but we're transitioning from the Old Testament to the New. How are they going to know that this person's telling truth? They don't have the Word of God to go to verify it. So they had the sign gifts to verify it. Today, we don't need those sign gifts. I don't need to perform a miracle to prove that I'm a messenger from God and my message is true. You can check that out for yourself and go to God's Word and see if my message is truth or not. And so the sign gifts are no longer needed today. And the sign gifts, again, were the speaking in tongues and the gift of miracles and the gift of healings. God still heals today, but he doesn't need human instrumentality to do it. Those gifts were sign gifts to verify the message and the messenger. But now that the Word of God's complete, we don't need those sign gifts. And the tongues was a sign gift. But now that the Word of God's complete, we don't need that sign gift. And that's the only purpose of the tongues. The tongues was not there to edify the church beyond being simply a sign. And that's what Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians 14. And he says, really, tongues was inferior. In verses 1 through 12 of chapter 14, tongues are inferior, is an inferior way of communication. In verses 13 through 19, tongues is an inferior way of praise. And in verses 20 through 25, tongues was an inferior way of evangelism. We're going to look at that in coming weeks. But he simply says tongues, beyond being a sign, is inferior when it comes to edification. According to 1 Corinthians 12, the purpose of spiritual gifts is the edification of the church, the body of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 14, the gift of tongues is an inferior gift when it comes to that edification. It was great as a sign, and it edified the church in that way. Now that the sign's not needed, the gift of tongues is not needed because it would not edify. And that's the purpose of the gift. The gift of tongues was for a sign, and when the sign was no longer needed, it had limited use, and it ceased. The gift of tongues was also what we refer to as a revelatory gift. The gift of tongues was direct revelation from God, as was the gift of prophecy, as was the gift of knowledge. They were direct revelation from God. And so if tongues was a direct revelation from God, we don't need it anymore today. Once the Word of God was complete, God's revelation was complete. He has given us everything we need to know right here. Revelation has ceased. It was not intended to continue on through the church age. Jude tells us in verse 3 that the revelation was given to us once for all. It was delivered unto us. It was not intended to be an ongoing thing throughout the church age. At the end of the book of Revelation, just the last couple of verses in the book of Revelation, John says, do not add to the book of Revelation. Don't add to God's word. Don't add to God's revelation. If you add to God's revelation, he will add to you the plagues that you find written in the book. Well, if the gift of tongues and prophecy and the gift of knowledge, if it's direct revelation from God, then those who are claiming to exercise those gifts today are adding to God's revelation. And at the end of the Bible, we are warned not to add to God's revelation. It had ceased. It had come to an end. God's not revealing today. We need to study the revelation he's already given to us, and we need to be enlightened to understand that revelation, but he's not directly revealing to us today. Everything he needs to reveal to us for today has been revealed. It's right here. We need to study it. We need to apply it. We need to be understanding of it, and through his Holy Spirit, he can enlighten us to understand it, but it's not further revelation. And to claim to speak in tongues would be to claim to be receiving direct revelation from God. To have the gift of prophecy would be to receive direct revelation from God. And that would be adding to God's revelation. And we're warned in Revelation 22 not to add to his revelation. Those revelatory gifts have ceased. The gift of tongues involved direct revelation from God. But with the completion of God's word, direct revelation has indeed ceased. Revelation from God was not to be ongoing through the church age. It was once for all delivered unto the saints, not to be ongoing. Any revelation from God would be adding to the word of God, which is forbidden in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. We cannot add to God's revelation. You would think that with all the emphasis on the gift of tongues in the church today, that the Bible would be filled with all kinds of examples and instructions and illustrations of the gift of tongues. But when you really study it in Scripture, that's not what you find at all. And sometimes we think, well, okay, it's not mentioned a lot in the epistles, but certainly the book of Acts is filled with the gift of tongues. When you really study the book of Acts, it's not filled with the gift of tongues. In fact, in the book of Acts, only three times is the gift of tongues mentioned. Three times is the gift of tongues mentioned in the book of Acts. It's mentioned in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It's mentioned in Acts chapter 10 with the salvation of Cornelius. And it's mentioned in Acts chapter 19 when there was a group of people in Ephesus who had been baptized by John's baptism, but did not understand the baptism of Christ. And so Paul came and baptized them in the name of Christ. And they spoke in tongues. Three times is the only mention of tongues in the book of Acts. The only epistle that mentions the gift of tongues is right here in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. Paul never mentions the gift of tongues outside of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Peter, James, John, Jude, Matthew, none of them mention the gift of tongues. Mark chapter 16 does give a prophecy about speaking with other tongues, a prophecy that I believe was fulfilled in Acts. So Mark does mention a prophecy or gives a prophecy concerning speaking in tongues, which I believe was fulfilled in Acts. And then three times we see the gift of tongues in Acts, and then Paul talks about it here. That's it. So the gift of tongues is only mentioned in the early New Testament books. 1 Corinthians was written in 55 AD. It's one of the earlier epistles written. Acts chapter 19 and verse 6 is the last time that the gift of tongues is mentioned in the book of Acts. Acts 19. Acts chapter 19 takes place around 55 AD. None of the epistles written after 55 AD mentions the gift of tongues. After 55 AD, the gift of tongues is not mentioned in the book of Acts. It was an early sign gift. A sign to unbelieving Jews that God was transitioning from a focus to them to a focus to the church. And as that focus begins to take place within the church, the sign gift begins to cease. It runs out of use. The gift of tongues is never mentioned after Acts 19:6, 55 AD, and only in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, which was written around 55 AD. Mark does prophesy about speaking with new tongues, but he fulfilled in the book of Acts. Matthew, John, Peter, James, Jude, books written later on, do not mention the gift of tongues. Finally, The gift of tongues was not practiced by the church fathers. What do we mean by the church fathers? We have the apostles who ministered during the first century. The church fathers are those that we use that term to refer to those who followed the apostles into the second and third century. Some of these church fathers that we refer to actually knew the apostles. Some of them were students of the apostles, but they were younger and they lived on into the second and third century. And so they were kind of the next generation after the apostles. So you have the apostles, and then you have these church fathers, the next generation on into the second and third century. And what we see is that the gift of tongues was not practiced by those church fathers. Let me just mention several of them. Clement never mentions the gift of tongues in a letter written to the Corinthians in 95 AD. This was still first century. Clement lived, in fact, John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation around 95 AD. Clement lived at the same time John did. Now, Clement was much younger and lived on into the second century, where John passed away in the mid-95s, somewhere in there. But Clement wrote a letter to Corinth. We have that letter today, these copies of it. In that letter to Corinth in 95 AD, he does not mention the gift of tongues. That's only 40 years after Paul wrote this letter of 1 Corinthians. 40 years later, and it was a big deal when Paul wrote the 1 Corinthians. That was a big problem in the church there at Corinth. 40 years later, as Clement is writing to the church at Corinth and addressing some more problems, he doesn't even mention tongues, which would suggest that tongues had already ceased and was no longer practiced. It wasn't an issue. He doesn't even mention it. Justin Martyr, perhaps the most prolific writer of the church fathers, never once mentions the gift of tongues. And on several occasions, he makes a list of the spiritual gifts. And in the list of the spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues is not even listed. It's not even mentioned. Again, suggesting that it was not practiced at that time. Origen. He does not specifically mention the gift of tongues in any of his writings. He does say that the sign gifts of the apostolic age were temporary and it was not practiced during his time. This is the next generation after the apostles. These men are writing and they're saying the gift of tongues and other sign gifts were temporary just for the apostolic age and they were not being practiced during their lifetime. Chrysostom specifically states that tongues and other miraculous gifts ceased. Augustine states that after the apostolic age, tongues passed away. So these church fathers all verify that tongues did not exist during their lifetime. It was not practiced. It was not recognized. They were gifts that had passed away with the apostolic age. They had ceased. These are the evidences, I believe, that tell us and teach us that these sign gifts, these revelatory gifts, are not for today. They have been done away with. They're no longer needed. The need that existed at that time does not exist today. Therefore, the gift does not exist today. Let me conclude by taking you to verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. I feel that it was necessary for us to lay this groundwork and this foundation so you understand where I'm coming from, but we can't lose focus on what's important. Verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, love, these three. The greatest of these is love. The gifts were temporary. Love never fails. It will exist for eternity. It will not cease. It is permanent. And now we have faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. We have faith today, but you know what? One of these days, our faith is going to be made sight. We have hope today, but one of these days, our hope will be realized. But love will go on into eternity. And so we better love now. And we get so hung up on gifts, and we get mad at those who speak in tongues, and we get mad at those who don't speak in tongues, and we get so concerned about what my spiritual gift is, and if it's not my spiritual gift, I'm not going to do that. That's not my spiritual gift. We forget all about the greatest. And that's love. We got so hung up on the gifts, and we neglect love. We get so hung up on what's my spiritual gift, and if it's not my spiritual gift, I'm not going to do that. What about loving others and doing it for them? The greatest of these is love, and love will go on into eternity. Why? Because God is love, and God is eternal, and we will become like Christ, and we will have love for eternity. Let's start now. That's the greatest. We can get hung up on the spiritual gifts, and we can get mad at those who don't agree with us. That's not the point at all. I believe we need to understand what Scripture teaches, and we need to apply it to our lives, but ultimately, we need to understand that the greatest of these is love. Are we loving one another? That's the question. Whether we agree 100% on all of this about spiritual gifts, do we love one another? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. You are indeed love. It'll exist for eternity as you will love us and we will love you. Help us, Father, not to wait until we are in your presence to love one another. We have faith. We have hope. But our faith will be made sight. Our hope will be realized. But love will last forever. Help us to love you. Help us to love one another. Help us to understand your truth. And to love your truth. And to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Perhaps raised many questions in your mind this morning. I'd be glad to talk to you about it. If you would like to sit down and just have a better understanding of where I'm coming from, I'd be glad to do that. Shall we stand? Father, again, we thank you for your love for us. We love you only because you first loved us, and I pray that we might truly love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May that love indeed spill out into those around us as we would love them with the love of Christ in us. It is indeed the greatest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.